You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Many years ago in the 70s, we had one of our missionaries, Brother Bill Bramlett, who's been in Australia since we began supporting him in the 70s. And Bill came to the pulpit and sang the old building this little chorus. We win, we win, hallelujah, we win. I read the back of the book and we win. Well, I've read the back of the book with you right now. It seems like we lose a lot, and it seems like this world is anti-God these days, and it is. But we're going to win. Yeah. I'm on the winning side. And when the last day is lived on planet Earth, we're winners. I want you to know that I want to speak to you this morning on the final moment. This chapter deals with the final moment before eternity. And if you want to have a place called heaven, you need to make preparation today. The trio sang about that foundation, and Brother Dan sang about, put it on my account, my sin. And Jesus said, put it on my account. I'll take your sin. Your sin and your iniquity, I'll remove and remember it no more. As far as the east is from the west, if he were said as far as the north is from the south, you can judge when you begin going north or south. But you cannot ever judge where you're always heading east or you're always heading west. You can catch up with yourself, but you're still going west. Or you can catch up, you're still going east. This chapter is such a powerful chapter. Verse 1, it says, and they showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne. The throne. By way of introduction, we see that throne in verse number 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God. 38 times you find the throne of God in this book of Revelation. And we thank God for the throne of God. But that throne is also going to be a judgment throne. Turn back with me, if you will, in chapter 20, in chapter number 20 of Revelation. And we know there are two judgments ahead for all people. One judgment is the Bema Seat judgment of Christ, where we receive the works done in our flesh. If you're a Christian, we will never stand before God for our sin. I'll never stand before a holy God and be judged for my sin. My sin, your sin, if you're saved, was judged at Calvary. He said, your sin and iniquity, I'll remember no more. He'll never bring them back up to our account. He won't stand on that throne and say, now, Jack, here's when you sinned what's the date today? June the 9th, 2024, because we sin every day. I'm not trying to make light of it. But my sins, gone. We sing when we're little kids in elementary school, gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. My sins are gone. God took my sins and iniquity. He said, I'll remember them no more. That's because he died for me. And yet the Bible says that those that are not saved will stand before God and they will be judged. Notice what the Bible says in chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne. Christians will never be at that great white throne. And him that sat on it, whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things that were written, the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead. Some folks have been laid to rest at sea, and they died on ships and were dying in wars. And the Bible says, and the sea gave up the dead that were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. My name, when I got saved 68 years ago, God wrote my name in the book of life. Oh, as I said earlier, I wish I could say I've lived perfect since then. I can remember getting angry. getting mad, put my fist through the door of my house. I wanted to hit my sister so bad, and I knew my dad would never let me hit a girl. And I took that fist as about a 13-year-old boy, mad at my sister, and I hit that door, and it was a hollow core door. Little did I know I was going to put a big hole in that door. My dad and mother weren't home. I felt so ashamed of myself. I loved my sisters. One's on earth, one's in heaven. And they were such sweet sisters, and my living sister, such a sweet sister as well. I remember that day, my sisters were so good to me. They knew I was so much in anguish over what I'd done. I put a poster over my door and left it there. My mother and dad never knew it. You know, I went off to Bible college. And when I was in Bible college, I was about 2,500 miles away from my parents. My parents decided to move. And when they decided to move, they took that poster off the door. My dad, I called, he said, "Son, I want you to call." I think it was every other week. I'll pay for a collect call, and I'd go down to the phone booth. I'd put the quarter in or dime in, and I'd call collect. And he said, "I want you to talk to your mother at least every other week, and I want you to write her a letter every week." And so I did that. My dad answered the phone. "Will you receive the collect call from Jack?" "Oh, yes, we will." That was a little bit different attitude. He didn't always say, "Yes." "Oh, yes, we will. Son, we're moving." I said, "Great." He said, "There's a poster on your door. We just took it off." "How'd that hole get there?" And I said, "Did those girls do that again?" You know, he knew. He smiled. He must have smiled. He was laughing with me. He said, "When did you do that?" I said, "Oh, about 6 years ago, I guess, or five or whatever." You know, I'm not happy with myself. I confess things to God every day of my life. I don't feel like I have to resign the ministry. I just can't live a perfect life. But I have a perfect Savior. Amen. And the blood of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, cleanses me from all my sin. But if your name is not written in the book of life, the Bible says you're going to be judged out of that book, and you'll be cast into the lake of fire. Look, as we back in chapter 22, I find not only is there a throne of God by introduction, I find in heaven that day there'll be no more curse. And verse 3, there shall be no more curse. No more curse. Why? Because of the Lamb of God. 29 times in this book of Revelation, we find the Lamb of God. John said, next day he seeth Jesus coming. John 1:29 said, "Behold the Lamb of God, a Lamb that is slain for our sins." Isaiah chapter 3. "He is brought as a lamb to the shears is dumb." So they slaughtered Jesus Christ. He hung on a cross. He paid for our sins. And his last word was, "It is finished." In other words, completely paid. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owe a debt I cannot pay. I needed someone to wash my sin away. Are you saved? I'm on a campaign in my personal life. I'm trying to every day pass tracts and talk to people, but I'm praying that every service, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, we'll see people saved in this church, because it is the final hour. We're in the final moments, and Jesus is coming again. The next event on God's calendar, prophetic calendar, is what is called the rapture of the church. The Bible says that he'll come again in a twinkling of an eye, not a blinking. You can measure a blink. You cannot measure a twinkling of an eye. He'll come again. And the Bible says that he'll come and receive us unto himself, that where we are, he may be also. And here in the Bible, there'll be no more curse. The rapture is the next event. And we're in heaven for 7 years. There's two events in heaven. The judgment seat of Christ, we mentioned that. And the marriage supper of the Lamb. But on planet Earth, judgment begins. Yes, sir. Judgment begins. There's 21 judgments in the book of Revelation. Right. There'll be a wholesale slaughter. Men will be slaughtering one another. The Bible says we'll turn to one world religion, Revelation chapter 19. It'll be located in Rome. And the Bible says that we will be under one faith, one religion. We'll be gone. We'll be in heaven. The Bible says you won't be able to buy or sell unless you have a chip, unless you have the marking 666. I don't know how they'll do that. Will they do it with a chip? I know a man in this valley who is a leading mayor of one of the largest cities, and he's already been implanted according to his words. They're talking already about placing chips so that you don't have to carry credit cards or money or anything. The chip. And ladies and gentlemen, we're so close to the return of the Lord. When man's hearts begin to wax worse and worse, I go to the book of I'm going to get to my message. In Matthew chapter 28, it says, no man knoweth the day nor the hour, but it says in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the coming of the Son of God. The days of Noah, they were eating and drinking and giving in marriage. There was evil, and every imagination of their thoughts were evil continually. I'm just shocked at all the politicians, men and ladies, that can just swear. I've not seen the news since last election, but I see news on my phone. And I'm amazed at the ladies in the House of Representatives and the Congress, they just swear. I remember one day standing a few years ago where the Speaker of the House stands. And I stood there and opened up Congress with prayer. I thought I was on holy ground. I felt like it was sacred ground where that body of politicians meet. To me, it's very respectful. And yet women are blaspheming and swearing, and men are blaspheming, both sides, Republicans and Democrats. And the evil imaginations, the thoughts, and all that's going on. And yet God says, that's how it was in the day of Noah. He says, as it was in the day of Lot. What was in the day of Lot? Lot went to Sodom. Sodom is a city that had been destroyed by brimstone. It's still blackened ash to this day because they had given themselves over to sodomy. Sodomy, the Bible says, men burning in their lust toward men, ladies burning in their lust toward ladies. That's not Bible. In the beginning, God created male and female, created he them. And yet we try to blaspheme God and redefine everything. 21 judgments are coming. Notice what the Bible says in verse 5 and chapter 22. And there shall be no need of a candle, neither light for the sun, for the Lord giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. I want you to see some thoughts in this brief message today of the final moments. And I really truly believe we're running out of time.
Yes, sir.
I believe we're running out of time. I don't know. I never thought it was going to get this worse, this bad. But it seems like it's getting worse and worse, and God says it's going to do that. But how much more worse can we get, Brother Morris? I mean, how much more? I guess we can, but we're down in the gutter, in the sewer. What we do to little children, mutilating their bodies, changing them, letting them have abortions without a mother or dad even knowing about it. Giving them blocks, shots that can change their genders. What are we thinking? How God says you cannot hurt or offend a little one. It'd be better if a millstone, he said, was hung around your neck and you're thrown in the depths of the sea than to hurt a child. This text, the final moments, I find the return of our Lord is instantaneous. It's an instantaneous. Look at verse number 7. You fill in the word that I pause at. Behold, I come quickly. Would you look with me in verse number 12? Try it again. And behold, I come. And would you look at verse number 20? He which hath testified these things says, surely I come quickly. Quickly means sudden. When we don't know he's coming, but he's coming. Maybe today our Lord will come, but it's instantaneous. It's the word instantaneous or quickly means to be surprised. Surprise. It means no delay. We live as if we have plenty of time. Got plenty of time to get right with my wife or my husband. You better get right today. All it takes is saying, wife, I was wrong. Well, I'm not going to do that. You remember, honey, that time when I was wrong, I did something, who knows, I've really never been wrong in our marriage ever, 51 years plus. But I did something, and I could never harbor anything. And I got upset over something. I didn't swear at her, hit her, nothing like that. I just got frustrated. Because you know how women can be, fellas. And ladies, you know how men can be, right? And it was really always me. And I said something, and I got frustrated. But I always come back immediately. I wanted my life to match what people think in the pulpit. I want it to match at home. And the pulpit and the palace has to match. Amen. And it just took me a few minutes. I went back and said, honey, I want to let you know. Boy, this is hard to say for a man. Brother Adam, maybe you ought to think about this if you would. Okay, these words are very difficult to say. And fellas, I'm still a man, so don't judge me what I said. I said I was wrong. Oh, fellas, don't you hate it? I'm so full of pride. And I said to her, you know, here I am, this bulk of muscle. If you want to feel it afterwards, it hangs down here. I had to say, I'm sorry. That just burned me up. And, you know, but I was sorry. And she said, I accept your apology. You have got to be kidding me. I said, well. She said, well, what? I said, what about you? And she said, I'll never forget. She taught me something. She goes, so you're not really sorry. You're just negotiating. Where do you girls get all this wisdom from? So, I wish you could hear all the comments going on back here. Apparently you fellas have been there, haven't you? But I got a little frustrated again. And I had to come back. Brother Mofa, I'm feeling like you're under conviction right now back there. I just feel like I saw your head go down. So who won the argument last night, your wife or you? She won. So there was an argument last night. Oh boy, I caught one of our young men in our class this morning about that. Brother Davey's been married for 1 year. I said, who won the first argument? He said, well, she did. So I said, there have been one. Huh? There has been. He goes, oh yeah, on the honeymoon. No, wait. He was just joking with me. And I got upset again. I had to come back a few minutes later and say, I'm sorry. I learned something. You know, if you've offended your wife or you've offended or hurt your husband, why don't you just humble yourself? I'm so sorry. It's too late when they passed away. A preacher friend of mine, he was a police officer and they went into the ministry. And there was an awful accident years ago. The police cars and medics were going by his church. And he decided to go and check it out, and he found it was his wife. And she had passed away in that accident. It's 28 years ago today. My wife reminded me, our niece was coming home from church, sitting in the car with her dad. Her dad's suffering with cancer right now. And Jennifer, her brother was in the back seat. He had just had brain surgery, I'm guessing an 18-year-old boy or so. They had drilled holes to fix some things in it, and he was recovering. A car hit him from behind on the road turning to the family farm in Illinois. That threw that car up on the Brown farm. And that dad was able to get out, but they couldn't get her out. His brother came, Rich, your brother. It was right there on that corner of Scott Road, Kishwaukee Farm Road there. And he turned to his brother, her dad, and said, Jennifer is gone. He watched her draw his last breath, his daughter. I'll never forget that phone call 28 years ago today. You see, we think we have a lot of time to get things right with our children. I'm glad that your brother and his wife, Dwayne and Gail were so right with their children. I want to be so right with God's people. I may be nearer the shore than many of you. Maybe you're nearer than I am. But I've lived a good life, a wonderful life. I don't want to be wrong with anybody. I don't want to be wrong with our children. I don't want to be wrong with their mates or our grandkids. Life is but a vapor. Jesus said, I'm coming quickly. Either it's the rapture is going to be quick, or perhaps your death will be quick. The second thing I find, not only an instantaneous return, but I want you to see there's a final invitation. This invitation, verse 17. Would you read it with me? Ready? Begin. And the Spirit, the bride, say, and let him that heareth say, and let him that is athirst, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. God's final invitation is, will you come to me? God's word says in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke up as animals yoke up with a yoke. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is hard. Hey, kids up there in the balcony and down here, teenagers around, scattered around, and I know all the children are out, but I want you to know that the world will say, try this drug, fentanyl. Well, 108,000 kids tried it last year and died on the streets of our city. Try fentanyl. Try this drug. Well, marijuana is not bad. Well, then why does it burn your brain up and you're never able throughout life then to calculate like you could have calculated? Hey, try this liquor. It's not going to hurt you. But God's word says, my yoke is easy. See, it's so hard to live for God. It's so hard to stand up and say, no drugs and no drink and no pornography and no immorality. Hard. No, God says it's easy. Amen. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. You're in the ministry. We've been in the ministry a long time. I've watched men start drinking and ladies start drinking. And that freedom that they think they finally have away from God, that freedom always 100% enslaves them. Yes, sir. I've watched grown men and grown ladies weep at their homes and in my office saying, it's got me. I need to dry out. I've watched people get on drugs and it just controls them, and there's no hope, it seems like. No hope to get dried out. God's way is easy compared to what this world's going to do for you. God's word says there's a final invitation. Out of my bondage, sorrow, night, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come into thy gladness, freedom, and light. Jesus, I come to thee. It's an old invitation song written in 1887. I think of that song. It was written in 1893, if I'm not mistaken. I've wandered far away from God. Maybe you're saved, but you've wandered from God. But now I'm coming home. The paths of sin no long I trod. Now I'm coming home. Coming home. Coming home. Never more to roam. I think most of us know that secular song, tie a yellow ribbon round the old oak tree. But that did not come originally from that. That came from a little mother. And her son got away from God so many years ago. Went and lived in the big city and spent all his living and spent everything and ruined his life. But mother said, son, you come home. He wrote, said, mother, it's been years now. I'd like to come home. I'm going to be on the train that passes by our little cottage. And mother, if I see a white handkerchief in the tree, I know I can come home. But if I look out that window of that train as we pass our cottage and don't see that white handkerchief, I'll just keep on traveling and not bother your life ever again. Anticipation began to build as they would wind their way closer to his little village, a little cottage where his mother lived, and they're making the final bend. And to his amazement, he looked and he saw in every tree there was handkerchiefs, there were towels, there were bed sheets. White was just everywhere. In other words, son, come on home. Today you're a Christian, you've been away from God, come on home. I'm out of time, but I see here it's instantaneous. I see there's an invitation, and I see the intensity of it. Verse 20, he which testifieth, he says, saying, surely, surely, in other words, intense, I come quickly. I'm coming again. Don't live as if you have endless time. There's a song, I think it was written in the 1960s, if I remember. Someday you'll hear God's final call to you to take his offer of salvation true. This could be it, my friend, if you but knew God's final call, God's final call. Chapter 22 is God's final call. We'll have someone in this church are related to this church pass away this week. Every week we do. I find that death is no respecter of persons. It may be someone young, it may be someone older. Emma's sweet little brother, you guys took her to the airport. College graduation ended. She got on the plane on Thursday morning a few weeks ago. And flying home back to Virginia, she got off the plane only to find that morning her 13-year-old brother was killed in an accident. She was welcoming home, but going to be welcomed home by her family and siblings and her home church, Gilgrove Baptist Church. But instead of joy at the airport, there was sorrow. It could be God's final call. I find in the Bible, I think sometimes we step over, God keeps calling and calling and calling to get right. You say, I'm not going to get right. And God just gives you over to whatever you want. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Be right with one another. Oh, be right with one another. I can't imagine losing my wife in death. But I hope that the last day she is alive or the last day I'm alive, I want to be so right with her. She's been such a wonderful, wonderful wife. I want to be right with her. I want to be right with my staff. I want to be right with my kids and grandkids. I'm going to be right with the deacons. Father, please, it could be the final call today, the last call. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Say, Pastor, I'm saved. I know I'll never stand before God in judgment for my sin because Jesus paid it all. I know I'm saved. I can go back to a date in my life when I know I asked Christ to save me. Could you, with no one looking, slip your hand up? I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. I know I am. You may put them down. The vast majority, but I tell you what, there had to be about 30 or 40 people could not raise your hand. Maybe I wasn't clear. But I imagine there's at least that many, if not more. You need to be saved. Make this, today is the day of salvation, the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 6:2. Get saved today. In a moment we'll stand, in a moment we'll have the pianist play, and there'll be pastors here, there'll be ladies here to deal with the lady and a man to deal with the lady. You could be saved today. Someone could just, we'll not have you come to the pulpit and speak. We'll just, it's between you and this person that leads you to Christ. Some of you are away from God, full of hate and anger and frustration. Maybe today's the day you need to get right with God. Father, speak, please. Speak as you have been all morning. Our heads are bowed. Let's stand together, please. The pastors come. Soul winners are here. Ladies are coming. Men are coming. We're ready for you. You don't know. Here's one of our pastors, and the doctor said this week, you have cancer. His wife's been hospitalized so much. Here's Mrs. Flores. Her husband's been hospitalized again this week. We don't know. We have no idea what the future holds. Here's this young man, Trevor, just a young husband, two little kids, 40 pounds in 30 days. God bless him. What a wonderful young man. Would you come right now?
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.